The contents of the lab report are meant for educational purposes only and are not meant to be misconstrued as medical diagnosis or treatment advice.
Today on the lab report, we're going to talk migraines. Maybe I should talk quieter.
A functional medicine approach to migraines.
Shh. Open the window.
The world of medicine can be challenging. Clinicians and patients are always looking for more options, more effective treatments, and in the end, more answers. Functional and integrative medicine focuses on addressing root causes of disease. Here at Genova Diagnostics, we've watched this field evolve and grow for over 35 years. We've not only adapted, we've led. Join us as we talk about functional medicine, laboratory testing, and optimizing health. Welcome to the Lab Report. Who knew grape nuts was so controversial?
We got some feedback for sure.
A lot of fans we've alienated out there.
Yeah. I feel bad I didn't mention they're actually quite good.
They are.
Just not buoyant. Hello!
Hi, Michael Chapman.
Patty Devers.
Hi.
Oh my gosh. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, thank you. Hope you're all doing wonderful. If you are, share this with your friends. It's a podcast called The Lab Report. It's brought to you by Genova Diagnostics, and we talk about things like functional medicine, specialty lab testing, and integrative therapeutics.
What's wrong with you? And if you're not annoyed by Michael's voice, you can go to iTunes or Spotify, maybe subscribe to the show, rate, review, leave us some feedback and some stars.
You didn't like my monster truck advertisement voice? No, seriously, you guys, thanks for your reviews.
Mm-hmm.
We love you. Mm. Thanks for listening.
Aww.
If you love us too, send it to podcast@gdx.net. We need affirmations.
I'm just glad you're not using your monster truck advertisement voice, though I prefer that to whispering this entire episode, so I'm good with it.
You want me to talk that way the whole time?
That would be fun.
I think I might be running out of voices.
No, I will say what goes unknown to everyone out there listening is that up here in the podcast room, Michael does a lot of different voices that just make me crack up.
None of them good.
No, it's like Batman and Cookie Monster sound exactly alike. I don't see that they're different.
They're not the same.
They sound exactly alike. Then there's Arnold Schwarzenegger. There's so many voices that are hilarious. We should do them the whole show in voices.
Sometimes when Batman gets a headache, he retreats to the Batcave. It's nice and dark. Cookie Monster. He gets headaches when he eats too many cookies.
See, they're totally different.
But what's funny is I can tell what voice you're about to do by the way you contort your face, because I stare at your face all day long.
You got to get into the
tell.
Character.
Yeah.
Also, I can't believe I just did that on air. It's ridiculous.
It's the best thing I've ever heard.
Well, why don't we just go ahead and dive into this concept of migraines?
Yeah. Today we're going to talk about a functional approach to migraine, and I think that word gets thrown around very casually, but it actually has specific definitions, because a migraine isn't the same as a headache, and there's lots of different types of headaches, too.
Do you get migraines?
No.
Oh, do you get headaches?
Sometimes, rarely, though.
What's the difference to you?
Well, you know, people say I have a migraine, but really it's just a headache, and I think migraine infers, to me, other symptoms like nausea or photophobia, things like that. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think a lot of people are like, think a migraine is just a severity scale of the headache. When the headache gets X bad, it's now a migraine. But yeah, I do get migraines, and it comes with, you know, the auras, nausea, photophobia, all that stuff.
I'm sorry.
Thanks. I actually get them far less than I used to.
Oh, thank goodness. Well, how come? Like, do you found what triggered them or what?
I don't know, but let's talk about it. Let's talk about a functional approach. Maybe we can figure out what I did or didn't do. First of all, let's start, I mean, what differentiates a migraine from a regular headache?
Well, even with the term headache, there's a lot of different types of headache, right?
Yeah.
So you can have a primary headache, or you can have a headache because you have a sinus infection. Those are two different types of headaches.
Tension headaches versus cluster headaches.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
So we know that those are episodic, right? Cluster headaches is usually like the ice pick, then the tension is like a band around your head, but a migraine's a little bit different.
Don't those primary headaches also have different, like, pathophysiology? Like, not just different symptomatology, but tension headache is usually musculoskeletal related, I think.
Yeah, no, you're right. And then cluster headaches are so named because they kind of cluster. You have a bunch of different headaches at the same time, and then you go a period of time without headaches. And this is usually one side of the head, and it's one of the only types of headaches that is more predominant in males.
That's weird. But the thing that stands out to me is we're talking about headaches as a symptom.
Yeah.
When you talk about migraines, they refer to it as a disease.
Right, and headache is a symptom of a migraine.
Correct. And what are some of those other symptoms that you put under the umbrella of migraine disease?
Well, you think about the aura, which is kind of classic, right?
Yeah, it's classic. It's weird. Have you ever had an aura like this?
No.
It's totally weird.
What happens?
For me, it's like blinding lights in the periphery of my vision.
Wow.
And it slowly closes in to the point where you can't really see much.
I'm sorry.
What else?
Well, people also talk about that not only the flashing lights, but zigzagging lines, blind spots, blurry vision. There's also weirder things like mood changes, frequent yawning, and photophobia, sensitivity to light.
I mean, it sounds like a lot of things where your brain's just going wrong. Like, it's, your brain is a little confused.
Yeah. But then there are other things that happen with the brain being that confused. Some people get like a numbness, or they can't use their hand, or there's other specific things like jumbled speech.
And a lot of that's occurring during the prodrome, right? And so you could see where during that prodrome period, you can start to get really worried by what's going on, given the symptoms and what other things they might be associated with.
Oh, so true. You think you're having a stroke,
right?
So that's kind of scary. And then there's the postdrome phase where you're just exhausted. It's just sheer exhaustion at the end of all of this.
And I'll tell you, a lot of times this happens to me mid-exercise.
Whoa.
So it's quite scary because you're like, I think I pushed it too hard.
So now you're using exercise as an excuse to have migraines. So now you're like, I don't want any more migraines, so I have to stop exercising.
I mean, my body does not want me to exercise,
it's rejecting
obviously.
Rejecting it, that's
Well, now that we know the migraine syndrome is a disease and we understand how it might manifest, what can we actually start to do about it?
Well, we're here in functional medicine, so we're going to try to get to the root cause and see if we can uncover some of those triggers, because if you can remove some of those triggers, you may have less migraines or less severity of migraines. And so I think when we're talking about migraine headaches, something that comes up a lot are food sensitivities.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. There's actually some research where they've done IgG food sensitivity testing on people, and then they had them do an elimination diet based on the results, and they found major improvements, statistically significant, in their frequency of migraines. And they also, you know, that's just kind of one approach. Another approach is everyone's a little bit different from the food standpoint. Some people react to histamine-rich foods. Some people react to sulfites, and so they'll get a headache the minute they start drinking wine as compared to when they're done drinking wine. And so it really does depend on what somebody might be sensitive to and what they should be eliminating. Another thing that's interesting, you mentioned that it's much more common in females than males, aside from the cluster headache. So it sort of makes you think something about hormones might be involved, or potentially for some people.
Oh, for sure. And even if you think about cycling females and PMS, there's some, you know, much of it is anecdotal where, you know, certain times of their cycle, they have headaches versus others. And then sometimes as they become more menopausal, as you have lower levels of some of these hormones, migraines can come up. But even with men, right, there's testosterone. Maybe it's a deficiency in testosterone, but there's definitely some bit of hormonal aspect to migraine headaches as well.
What are you saying? I mean, it happens when I'm exercising.
I didn't say a word. I was just saying that low testosterone is associated with triggering migraines.
You would think that if I'm exercising, I would be raising my testosterone levels, and therefore I wouldn't get a migraine.
But that may not be your trigger. There could be other triggers. Like maybe you ate something funky at lunch and then got a migraine while you were exercising.
You mean my testosterone is so high that it's giving me a migraine?
That's right. I'm not going to ask you to do your Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'm not going to do it.
I'm not asking for it. But those are two important things, right? IgG, food sensitivity, some foods. Then we have hormonal aspects. But another big bucket of triggers revolves around the gut. And we did a whole episode on the gut-brain axis, so we know they're connected. But let's talk about the gut and the triggers that happen there.
It's interesting that what you just said, because you said the gut-brain axis. And when people typically think of gut-brain axis, they think gut and mood.
Right.
And they don't think of gut and physiology brain. Mm-hmm. Brain physiology.
Right.
Your brain, how it works.
I got
or doesn't.
That.
Gets auras and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, Patty, why don't you tell me a little bit about the gut-brain axis as it relates to migraines?
I love that. And just to start out, migraines actually can be considered somewhat inflammatory. Mm. There are inflammatory cytokines that can trigger the specific pathways in your brain. And so one place to start is intestinal permeability.
Okay.
So we've talked about that, right?
Sure, leaky gut.
That's right. And so if you remember that one of the metabolites of the bacteria in our gut is LPS, or lipopolysaccharides.
Yeah, we don't want a lot of that one.
We do not.
Yeah, it's a bad one.
Or other inflammatory cytokines that can actually be made by bacteria. But if there's leaky gut,
yeah,
it gets into your systemic circulation and can cross the blood-brain barrier and stimulate migraines.
Yeah, and I would say not only that, and the connection between leaky gut and LPS and its action, you know, there's also a lot of immune function and immune cells down in the GI tract. Mm, and so right. changes in the gut flora can induce more pro-inflammatory cytokines, things such as IL-1B, IL-6, IL-8, and even wow. TNF-alpha.
Yikes.
Love those interleukins, right?
Who doesn't love an interleukin?
And so many of these pro-inflammatory cytokines have been implicated in triggering migraines and are shown to be elevated during migraine attacks. So there's a connection there as well.
So another area and uh-huh. aspect of the gut-brain axis that's important in migraines is short-chain fatty acids. Remember our old friends, the short-chain fatty acids?
I'm familiar with the short-chain fatty acids. We've got our N-butyrate, our acetate, our propionate.
That's right.
Yeah, and we... don't we test for those?
We do on the GI effects. Right. And remember that these are made when the bacteria in your gut ferment fiber or resistant starches. But we always single out butyrate. It's kind of like the star of the show,
sure.
right? Because it's also the primary fuel source for your colon cells. But what butyrate can do in systemic circulation is it can get into your brain. We talked about that on that episode,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
But it shows some anti-inflammatory effects in the brain by suppressing the synthesis of some of those cytokines like tumor necrosis alpha that can be induced by LPS. So butyrate's important as it relates to migraines in your brain to suppress some of that inflammation.
And another thing that butyrate does is it helps to improve barrier function, thereby reducing the risk of permeability, leaky gut, and reducing the risk of LPS entering circulation. So that's pretty cool. Do you know these short-chain fatty acids, they bypass portal circulation?
Wow.
I know, right?
How do you know that?
I made it up.
Oh, sounds good.
It's true.
Okay, well, let's hit another topic as it relates to the gut-brain axis.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's get into some of the neuropeptides.
Neuropeptides. That is a fun idea. Are we talking about like BP-157 and all these fun new gadgets that we're playing around
not
with?
Not those. I'm thinking more specific to the brain.
Like glutamate.
Yeah.
It's not as exciting.
But it's excitatory.
Ooh, good one. And I'm going to, this is going to be an exciting sentence I'm about to say here.
Oh my God.
Glutamate, yeah. It plays a role in migraine pathophysiology by these three things. Are you ready?
Okay.
Cortical spreading depression.
Wow.
Central sensitization.
Okay.
And stimulating trigeminovascular system.
Wow. Okay, so what does that mean?
I don't know, but it sounds fun, right?
It certainly does.
No, so let's break that down, right? So mm-hmm. part of the issue around migraines is you sort of start with an insult, and it depolarizes that area. And what happens is then the changes permeate through across the cortex. It's sort of like a cascading spreading effect.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Cortical spreading depression.
Got it.
Okay. Central sensitization uh-huh. is essentially making the actual neurons, axons, more sensitive to depolarization, which is part of that cortical spreading.
Okay.
And then lastly, the trigeminovascular system is highly involved in the migraine process because that's essentially where the pain signals are coming from.
Okay, so you're telling me glutamate starts this whole process, or triggers it.
Yeah, and certainly plays a big role. It's also indicated that it might affect inflammation and oxidative stress in the GI tract,
mm-hmm.
which is further exacerbating some
Yikes.
Of the problems we just talked about.
Okay.
But since we're talking neuropeptides, mm-hmm. what other neuropeptides are out there?
Dude.
I don't even know.
Well, if you go into some of the lit around migraine, they keep bringing up this thing called CGRP.
Ah, yes, CGRP, of course, calcium glazed random protein.
Close? No, it's not that. It's calcitonin gene-related peptide. And in fact, they kind of use it as a biomarker for migraines, which is interesting. So they follow levels in patients who have migraines. And just to even further speak to that role of the brain and the gut and how they interact, they found that CGRP actually inhibits gastric acid secretion and suppresses your food intake. But this CGRP signaling is also influenced by your microbiome. So it's one of the reasons that they started giving people probiotics for migraines to change that signaling.
Mm. All right. So we're getting somewhere. We talked about triggers. We're talking about pre and probiotics to help support the microbiome. All right. We've got some treatments going on. Mm-hmm. What else do we know? Let's talk a little bit about serotonin.
Ooh. Well, we actually have talked about that in prior episodes about how a lot of our neurotransmitters are actually made in our GI tract, and serotonin is one of them because it's made by those enterochromaffin cells.
Yeah, and another interesting thing about serotonin in the GI tract is it's supposed to be involved in inflammation and immune cell recruitment, recruiting things like neutrophils, eosinophils, and so it certainly has some action on the immune system as well, which hand-in-hand relates to inflammatory cytokines.
Interestingly, it also affects the motility of the gut. But as it relates to migraines, what's the connection there, Michael?
Well, to be frank, mm-hmm. that's not super clear in the research.
Okay.
But I've got an idea.
Oh, no. Sometimes literature is inconclusive.
That's right.
No one really seems to know the answers.
Uh-huh.
But we're lucky because we have someone who always has an answer, and that's Michael Chapman.
What?
He's going to offer us his logical speculation.
I am?
Yeah.
I don't always have an answer.
Well, you always give an answer.
No, that's not true. I am perfectly comfortable saying I don't know when I don't know. And then sometimes you just
have
a thought.
An answer. Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just have a thought. That doesn't mean I'm a know-it-all. That
I didn't
mean
say that. I'm just merely saying that whenever we need an answer, we come to you.
But that doesn't mean I'm just making stuff up.
I didn't say that. What's your logical speculation as it relates to serotonin and migraines?
Here we go. So serotonin, a lot of it's made in the gut, right? Mm-hmm. And serotonin, it comes from tryptophan,
right?
Which is an amino acid. Mm-hmm. And serotonin can be broken down into 5-hydroxyindoleacetic acid, mm-hmm. whereas tryptophan can be broken down into things like kynurenic and quinolinic acid.
Ooh.
What they found is that a lot of this takes place in the gut by bacteria. And when you reduce the levels of bacteria in the gut, you have higher levels of circulating serotonin and tryptophan. Now, as we talked about, serotonin can recruit immune cells that can therefore release pro-inflammatory cytokines, maybe stimulating inflammation. And on the flip side, tryptophan can turn into kynurenic acid, which is more neuroprotective, or it can turn into quinolinic acid, which is more inflammatory. So what you're seeing is that in a reduction of bacterial population in the gut, you have more options for serotonin to be converted into some of these things that might be neuroinflammatory. So there you have it, bugs in the gut reducing the circulating level of serotonin in their metabolites and tryptophan in their metabolites, thereby reducing inflammation. As long as there's not serotonin steel.
I think you mean tryptophan steel?
That's what I said.
Oh. Okay, so we talked about dysbiosis. We talked about inflammation in the GI tract and leaky gut.
Uh-huh. Serotonin.
Right. We talked about all these things as it relates to migraines. But with that,
uh-huh.
it then makes perfect sense to me that a lot of IBS patients are also migraineurs.
Migraineurs? That can't be a word. That's not real, is that?
Absolutely is a word.
Ending words in E-U-R?
I sort of like it. It gives it some flair.
No,
like,
it's
saboteur.
It does not
migraineur.
Feel comfortable at all.
It's fun.
Entrepreneur.
Right. See? You're in it.
So we talked about triggers, and we talked about the importance of GI health and GI function as far as treatment. But like, let's give the people some additional tips.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? The people want
the people.
Their migraines gone. Let's figure out, like, is there something nutritional that we can think about?
Well, let's give the people what they want.
That's the goal.
Right. There's a lot of research around migraines and migraineurs, as well as various specific micro and macronutrients. And so let's take one, for example, vitamin D, right? Hot topic these days. Hmm. There's a lot of research being done around vitamin D, and there's not enough evidence to recommend it to every patient with a headache, but they are saying that the current literature says it could be beneficial for migraineurs to reduce the frequency of headaches, especially in those who have vitamin D deficiency. So another place for vitamin D.
Look, Patty, I got to just stop you because my migraine is getting worse every time you say that ridiculous word.
I think it's sort of fun. Migraineur.
Like, why would you? It's such a random thing to apply that suffix to. It's so specific.
Well, you're not a word person. You're not a connoisseur of words, Michael.
I'm telling you, please stop. I'm going to have to take some Advil or something. I'm going to be an Advilure. You know what I mean? I mean, we don't call people with acne, acneurs.
Well, maybe
or
we should.
Or people with allergies, allergiurs.
Maybe we should.
Tuberculures.
That's the spirit, Michael Chapman.
Anyway, so another thing about the vitamin D part is they did show that people who had higher vitamin D levels had less frequency of migraines and headaches. And they found that when you supplement with vitamin D, it also may have a positive impact on the microbiome such that it might lower H. pylori presence. And just to bring that around, I have this paper here where it says that there is a higher prevalence of H. pylori and, I can't say it.
What?
Migraineurs.
All right, well, let's talk about some other nutrients.
Yeah, let's do that.
I mean, we've outlined how there are aspects to migraines and the migraine syndrome that might actually be related to inflammation, mm-hmm. right? We talked about that with the gut.
Right.
We talked that it might be some type of an inflammatory condition. What's some other nutrients we think about when we think about trying to decrease inflammation?
Well, we think about fish oil, which mm-hmm. is funny because it's not one that immediately comes to mind when you think about migraines, but there actually was a study that showed 1 month's or 2 months' supplementation of just a gram of fish oil mm-hmm. Significantly decreased the frequency of headaches and reduction in duration of headaches, too. And there was another study where they did fish oil combined with sodium valproate for migraines, and it was more effective than just the medication alone.
Wow.
So there's outcome studies, and that's believed to be due to the fact that it interacts with the inflammatory cytokine pathways, sort of reduces expression of inflammatory cytokines, also may have some impact on LPS, and they also produce Resolvin, which is inhibits the production of inflammatory cytokines in the microglial cells. So it's anti-inflammatory.
That's awesome. Yet another place for fish oil and omega-3 fatty acids, but a lot of that research is also heading towards using curcumin and turmeric and other anti-inflammatory herbs as well. So really interesting stuff. Let's talk about another nutrient, CoQ10, right? We've had discussions about coenzyme Q10 on this show.
Big fan. Big fan of CoQ10.
Right. And we know it's a very powerful mitochondrial antioxidant, but there's some studies which are really intriguing. There was a randomized, placebo-controlled, double-blind trial of giving migraineurs CoQ10 and actually L-carnitine. So this double-blind parallel study showed evidence supporting the beneficial effects of CoQ10 and carnitine supplements on serum levels of lactate and migraine symptoms.
Is there a correlation between serum levels of lactate and migraines?
Actually, you know what, Michael?
What?
Lactic acid in the serum can actually trigger a migraine. And they're finding that because lactic acid increases during high-intensive physical exercise, that can trigger a migraine attack with Aura.
That combined with hugely elevated testosterone. Next time on The Lab Report, Dr. Ara Sapaya.
Functional medicine genius who you probably know from the Golf Channel.
Four! And we're going to talk about functional medicine in elite athletes.
You've been listening to The Lab Report. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our podcast, rate us, and leave us a review. To learn more about Genova Diagnostics, visit our website at gdx.net. There you'll find information on specific testing, educational resources, and how to connect with our show. Call us at 1-800-522-4762 or email us at podcast@gdx.net.
So, Michael.
Yeah.
Did you ever steal a golf cart when you were in high school?
No.
How about, did you ever steal a flag out of the hole in the golf course?
No.
You ever tipped over a golf cart?
No.
Have you ever fallen out of a golf cart when you were drunk and severely hurt your knee?
No. Have you?